Hello and welcome to another episode of True Stories of Good People, a podcast brought to you by GoFundMe. I'm your host, Kelsey Little. In each episode, we sit down with someone who's making a difference in other people's lives or has had their lives changed by someone kind. Jamal Berger, also known as @jscale on Instagram, is an incredibly talented photographer. He works with a ton of impressive brands and sports companies, but what really matters to him is giving back, and specifically giving back to kids. His program called The Kickback started out as a way to give sneakers to kids who couldn't afford them otherwise. And now it's grown to become a mentorship program that works to help kids not put limitations on their dreams. Help me welcome Jamal to the podcast and hear the amazing backstory for yourself. Hi everyone, I'm here in Toronto, Canada, first time here. I have to say it's very cool, but also very cold. I think we're hovering around 5 degrees Fahrenheit, but it was totally worth it to meet my guest today. Please welcome to the podcast, Jamal Berger. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So you grew up right here in Toronto, is that right?
Yes, I grew up right in the city.
Does it ever get warmer than this?
Oh, of course, yeah. The summer is beautiful. Definitely recommend visiting Toronto during the summer.
Yeah, I need to come back. What was it like growing up in Toronto?
It was really cool because living really close to everything that was happening, as soon as I was able to, you know, get a bike and start going around on the weekends, I started to get more and more curious as to what was out there for me. So just being downtown and being in close proximity to everything, I just always felt like I was immersed in the city, when very up to date with what was happening around me.
What's your favorite thing about Toronto?
The diversity.
Nice.
The diversity in the sense that whether it's the people or the food or the ideas, everyone's coming at anything with it from a different angle, and it's very inspiring. And we're in a place where things are changing, things are growing, and new things are coming into fruition in the city.
That's awesome. So to dive right into your story, Jamal, you're a photographer, is that right?
Yeah, I'm a photographer amongst a few other things. It's been a learning process. I guess I got into the world of just trying to do what you love through photography. That was the first thing for me. And just what we're talking about today with The Kickback, it has introduced me to a whole other realm of interests, and now I'm just trying to do as much as I can.
How did you first get into photography?
I think it was around the time that like Instagram just became a popular app, and they had all those filters and stuff, and I just had some sneakers, and I was looking at this article one day of how people were using Instagram, and it was really like a way to document what they were doing and what they were interested in. And I almost thought of it as like this cool place where I could show people and showcase my interest for sneakers. So that's kind of the idea of why I started Instagram. And then from there, over time, maybe a year into using Instagram, I started to try to take some photos because I saw how much attention to detail people apply to some of their pages. And I was just using it for fun, posting anything. And I'm like, maybe I should try to like be more curated with this. And from there, taking photos came by virtue, and I just realized I enjoyed it over time.
Well, so you're a pretty big deal on Instagram. I think you have something like 185,000 followers.
Yeah, that's something not nothing. Like that.
Yeah. How did your Instagram grow so big? Was it all at once, or did somebody notice a particular post that you did?
To be honest, it was progressive. For me, the Instagram growth happened at a time when Instagram itself was growing. And I was just taking photos and constantly posting, and it was cool. It was cool to like gain a following and have people interested in what I was doing and where I was going. However, now I see Instagram as like a platform where the growth that's happening is when you see something you do translate in real life. So my whole perspective on it has shifted. So I still value the concept of having a following, but I'm more interested in like the real life interactions that are happening.
Nice. So I read a pretty interesting story about how you got your very first, I think, film camera or camera in general. Could you share that with us?
Yeah. So, growing up, I didn't have the means to get a camera. My mom wasn't able to help me get a camera, and I was taking photos for as long as I could with what I had. And then I was approached one day with an opportunity to shoot for this sneaker store called Livestock.
Nice.
And the owner told me, hey, do you want to work with us? This is like the first opportunity I had at like a real consistent job when it came to photography. And I said, of course, I'd love to. Like, I remember shopping here when I was a kid, saving, like, whatever I had to come and try to buy a pair of sneakers. And so they asked me to shoot for them, and I shot for them for a couple months with what I had, but I wanted to have something better. So I proposed to them that I would work for them for a year for free if they bought me a camera on the spot.
Wow. Like,
at that point, because I wanted a professional camera so bad that I was willing to do that, and I felt like it would help fast-track my growth and my development. So they bought me my first camera, and because of that, like, they'll always be family to me.
That's amazing. So one of the types of photography you're most known for is sports photography. How did you get into that?
By nature, I love sports. I know I mentioned that livestock was the first consistent job for me, photography related. However, I think 2 or 3 months prior to that, I got a phone call while I was at work and going to school. And my friend asked me if I wanted to come shoot some stuff in Cleveland for Nike basketball. And I was like, Nike basketball? For real? Like, I could get paid to shoot some sports photography? And then I just, like, quit my job. And
really?
Yeah, I quit my job on the spot. Well, when I got back from the trip, because she asked me where I was. And I told her I was sick. But essentially just that kind of, like, sparked the flame for me to realize that I could do something that I enjoy and love, and I didn't know at the time, but make a living doing it. So it's a big part of my work. It's a big part of the work I do with my friends. And it's just fun. It's what I find fun, and it's cool to I always think it's cool when you can tie as many things as you enjoy into like one thing, which
Absolutely.
For me is like my work in photography.
This might be a weird question, but what do you love about sports? Because some people are sports people and some people aren't, but I always love hearing mm-hmm. what sports mean to people who really love it.
Well, I'll take basketball as an example because I feel like I can relate to that the most. It's a universal language. You could just meet somebody that day and you might not even talk to them before you actually play a game, and they might be on your team, but you already know that you're working together towards a common goal, which would be winning in that case. Or in another situation, like, I could be in Africa and I don't speak the same language as the kid, but we could play a game up to 15 and enjoy each other's company. It promotes physical activity, staying healthy, you know, freedom of expression, and it's just fun. It was the thing that I love to partake in and go to school before school actually started every morning. So it's just always been a fun thing for me.
I love that. That's beautiful. So photography-wise then, is it hard to take clear photos when in a sports situation when the subjects are constantly in motion?
I guess I imagine how hard it would have been a long time ago when all they had was film cameras. But nowadays, we got like the digital cameras that are made for sports and tracking and keeping up to speed with these high-level athletes. So I think it could be challenging, but at the same time, the camera really helps at this point. We're at a stage of technology where it does come in handy.
Awesome. You don't only do sports photography, though. What other kinds of subjects do you focus on?
With photography, I'll work as much as I need to work in order to travel. And then when I'm traveling, I'm just trying to document what I experience. So I don't know if that's documentary photography, journalism, travel. I don't know what it's called. I just take photos when I travel. I bring them back and I share them. And it's fun because I think it'll be cool to look at, I don't know, 30, 40 years from now when the world looks way different than it does today, and then to see the photos I'm taking now. So I look back at the photos I were taking 30, 40 years ago, and I'm amazed by those. So I just kind of have that in mind and hope that I can capture that sense of timelessness.
Nice. So when you're coming at any subject and your mission is to take a picture and capture that image, what do you try and capture in your photographs?
What do I try to capture? That's a great question. I'm trying to capture the feeling that overcame me, that motivated me to take the photo. It could be laughter, it could be suspense, it could be anything, it could be commotion. I'm not sure. It's always a learning process for me. Every day is a new day when it comes to photography, and I just trying to capture how I felt in that moment relative to what's happening in front of me, outside of me.
I like it. Excuse me. So in case any of our listeners are into photography too, do you want to nerd out about camera stuff for a second? What kinds of cameras do you shoot on? Are they all film primarily or no?
No. So when I'm working, I have a Canon 1DX. And when I'm traveling, I like to keep it light, and I have a Leica M6.
Sweet.
Yeah. So the digital for work, sometimes I can use film for work, but primarily I use my film camera when I'm traveling by myself and just keeping it light and not trying to have like a heavy camera on me.
Awesome. And real quick, what's one photography tip if you could pull one out for our listeners? I know that's kind of...
What's one photography tip? Good question. The first shot you take is never the best shot.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
So take a bunch.
Yeah, I guess for me what that means is you should never be satisfied with your first attempt at something. Like, how can you improve that? Look at it, think about what you did, and then try to make it better. Try to improve.
I love that. Okay, so now we'll move on to the second part of your story. You've started this really cool program called The Kickback. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, well, The Kickback started off as a sneaker drive in the sense when I kind of touched on it really quickly earlier when I mentioned that Instagram was always cool and seeing the growth was a fun thing, but at some point for me, I realized that I wanted to have a real impact. So I said, how can I do that? And I thought about using my platform to leverage the concept of giving back. And with that in mind, I did like a sneaker drive for kids to go back to school to cut costs down for low-income families so that they or their kids didn't have to find a way to get brand new shoes to go back to school with confidence. So that was how it started. However, doing that the first time, a lot of kids just showed up like, yo, where's my sneakers? And that, I was like, oh, what do I do? Because I would have done the same thing when I was a kid. So then from there, I just kind of thought about different ways to implement programming or greater purpose into what that was, the same way I tried to implement greater purpose into my photography. And from there, we tried workshops, we tried written things, and sometimes it felt a bit like too much like school. So then we flipped it and then we did other things, and that's how we kind of came to partner up in 2017 towards the end of the year when we went to Panama, and you guys helped us promote that concept of going there and doing something with a greater purpose. And we brought dictionaries and uniforms and sneakers, and we did a basketball tournament, and we met all these kids from a very particular community, and even in that was really cool. But there was an instant there when we had some extra sneakers, and there was a day when we went to a village or a part of the town called Chirio, and it was suggested that we didn't go there because it was supposed to be dangerous. However, going there, we just played soccer with the kids for like an hour and a half.
Nice.
And then at the end, we had some extra shoes, so we said, hey, we don't know if they're your size, but we got some extra shoes. Take them and find someone that they'll fit. And they said to me, we don't care that you're giving us shoes. We care that you came and spent the day with us. And for me,
wow,
the way I think, I was like, all right, well, that's how I want to feel every time I do something like this. And then I said, okay, well, how do I multiply this? How do I make sure that this feeling that we are able to accomplish with 10 people can be accomplished the same way with 50, with 100, and when we get there with 1,000. And from there, that's just kind of been the mission ever since. So we've done different programming, whether it's been like a sock drive for kids to give homeless people socks to keep them warm, or activations in terms of like basketball tournaments. We've done other things like run club. We've done a lot of things, free haircuts for kids going back to school. And everything we do is with the intent of encapsulating an emotion or a feeling that sneakers provide. So it could be confidence, it could be education on design, it could be anything. And the sneaker is just really cool because within the sneaker there's so many worlds to explore, and we're just getting started. We're just scratching the surface of how to use a sneaker as a relatable form to open kids' minds. And I guess if you were to ask me like what the mission statement was for The Kickback at this point, it would be we utilize sneakers as a conversation starter to activate and empower youth to help them reach their full potential.
That's awesome. And then I want to expand on that idea of kind of the same question about sports. What is it about sneakers, other than what you just shared, that is so important to you to keep central to this project? Because I know there's a whole, people are just really into sneakers, and what is it about them for you that makes that important for this project?
Personally speaking, I just remember being 12 years old and wanting a pair of sneakers and going from size 6 to size 7, and there's a price jump, and my mom said no to me, and I didn't like that feeling because sneakers were my subtle way of promoting or just showcasing who I was as a person, right? It was a way of me saying who I was without really saying anything because I was shy. And for me, the sneaker is so important because, again, it's like a form of communication that doesn't require anything being said. And kids love sneakers. Kids want the best sneakers, whether they're playing basketball, whether they're going to school, they want to feel great. When you put on a new pair of sneakers that you know everyone's going to be looking out for, you feel like that person, like the best person in the room. And if you can make every kid feel like that, that's just going to give them the confidence to chase their dreams.
On that note of chasing dreams, I think that is something that you guys focused your workshops on. What kinds of stuff do you guys tell the kids in these workshops on that subject?
We want kids to think big. I don't go in there and try to tell a kid this is what you should be, or this is how things look, or if you want to be a photographer, do X, Y, and Z. It's more along the lines of, what do you like to do? What are you interested in? What strikes your curiosity? And what are you really good at? What do you enjoy? Like, what just comes natural to you? And then from there, I leave them to think about those things. And then I try to help them just paint random scenarios. Like, if you like basketball and you like math, you know that you might not know, but there's jobs in the NBA that mathematicians have that is related to stats and analyzing players' movements. And
yeah,
they don't know these things because in school, especially in like inner city schools, teachers are always just trying to make sure kids don't get in trouble instead of identifying what they like to do and empowering them to do that.
Yeah.
So we're really just trying to empower the kids in the sense with giving them the ideas to understand that if they build their own recipe, or they take all these ingredients and make their own recipe, it could really become something if they want to make it that.
Have there been any interactions with some of the kids that you've worked with that kind of stick out in your memory?
I give you two examples. I could give you one here in Canada, and then I can give you one that I experienced when I was in Africa. So one, for example, was when we have conversations with the kids, I'm going to give you an example of that. So there was one girl, we were doing a workshop, and it talked about skills and interests and how you can combine those to find your dream career. And a girl just sat there, and she told me she wanted to be a dental hygienist. And then she told me that she wanted to travel. I said, did you ever think about combining the two? She said, no. And I said, why not? I don't know. And I said, well, did you know that if you combine those two and you learned a little bit about business, like, you can open dental hygienic clinics all over the world and help kids that need it most? And for her too, I could tell that her parents were immigrants and she came to the country. So I was like, you could go back home and you can open a dental clinic there, and then you can open one in South America, and you can open one in India. You can open them anywhere, and you can travel, and you could be responsible for those, and you could be the owners of them. And she was just like, wow, really? And I'm like, yeah. And I'm not telling you to do that, but know that it's possible, and you can do more than that. I'm just planting a seed in your mind to know that if that's what you want, you just have to work towards it. So really just trying to get them to think big, right? Just giving them different examples of that. And then another one that really stuck out to me was when I was in Nigeria, and I go do these basketball camps every August with this organization called Giants of Africa. There was a kid named Ben. He came up to me and he said, wait, so you're telling me that like I could make a living for myself doing something else besides playing basketball? No one's told you that before? He's like, no, I just have to go to the NBA.
Wow.
He's like, you could go to the NBA, but you can do other things too. Like, what do you like to do? And he's like, I really like history. And I was like, you could be the first person to like make like a basketball encyclopedia for the history of basketball in Africa, because no one else in Africa is talking about that but you, so you could be the first person to do that. And it's like, good idea. It's a good idea. I might do it. So, and then when I run into situations like that, I try to remind the kids that they're more than athletes. They want to do more than just play a sport. They actually want to make change, and they want to do bigger things. So the sport's only going to take them so far, and they need to figure out how they're going to combine their interests to create their own lane, because when you create your own lane, you're always in front. So that's kind of the mentality that everyone should kind of have. If you make it for yourself, there's no one in front of you.
I love the way that you approach those conversations. It's like you, like an improv, you yes and them, you know, you're like, yes, that's awesome, and you could do this, and just like think of the biggest possible version of that thing. I bet that sticks with them for quite a while. It's kind of cool too, thinking about that this is just the first few years of this, and I bet in like 5 or 10 years you're going to hear back from some of these kids that you've spoken to and hear the cool stuff that they're doing, and that just gives me chills to think about. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. It hit me sometime last year that this is more of a long-term investment than like you do something and you get a quick response. Like, I think everyone nowadays is so used to that. Like, you post something and you're ready for that instant gratification of likes and this and that and this. And it's in the last year, it's been a total flip in terms of my mentality. Just like, you drop a gem here today, or you receive a gem here today, like, or a seed, however you want to look at it, and the plant's going to grow the way it's supposed to over time. And just believing in that and going through life every day with that in mind, I get really excited about it, and it gives me the energy to just keep being receptive to what the kids are saying and to provide like that challenge to them every day too, because I'm not really trying to share what I know or what I believe in, because that's my own viewpoint. I want them to define and establish their own viewpoint so that they can create their own story.
That's so rad. So Jamal, you actually have a production company now. And did you start it? Is it your own production company, or is it a collective?
Me and my best friend started it, but now it comprises of me and three of my other best friends. It's called Tier Zero, and essentially we're just trying to produce work at a premium, and it could be sport and storytelling, it could be commercial, it could be just for fun, like the things we do on the side. But really, the same way that the Kickback is growing and developing, that is too. There's a few things on my plate and in my world that are in its infant stages that just trying to work on every single day to improve.
Awesome. Could you tell us a little bit about the Peace on Earth project that you recently did with Puma?
Yes. So I think Peace on Earth kind of sums up where we're at in terms of workflow, mentality, belief system, and what's possible. Puma, I reached out to my friend Christina mid-December or early December and said, hey, Christina, I know you know us for like working, whether it's photo and video with you. However, like this whole year I've been working on this thing called the Kickback. If there's ever any interest, let me know, right? Sent her a deck, showed her what we did. She thought it was really cool. And then 2 days later, she just said, hey, like Puma wants to promote this new basketball shoe. Do you have an idea? And I was like, oh, man. She's like, I need something by today.
So wow.
I just sat down and tried to write something out. I like scratched my day and just sent something in. And we got to build on it and bounce ideas back and forth. And then we kind of landed on the quote-unquote final product. And then from there, it was just a matter of building it out, finding the kids, identifying the community, and making it happen. Peace on Earth was the name of the silhouette of the sneaker that they were trying to promote.
Mm-hmm.
However, the shoe itself, with every sale of the shoe, $5 went to like the Trayvon Martin Foundation.
Oh, awesome.
The shoe was really an extension of the Reform platform, in the sense that they're trying to reduce gun violence by inspiring positive action through good intention. And with that in mind, I said, okay, well, how can we do this as the Kickback, right? So we thought of a basketball tournament, and we adopted a 3-on-3 format And we identified different arms of the Regent Park community, which is the community that I grew up in, because the summer of 2018, there was a high level of gun violence there. And we just wanted to bring all the kids together to show them that we care, we're a community, and that kids from the community can do anything they want if they put their minds to it. Because whether it was myself or my friend Yassine, who runs this program called Shoot for Peace, we're from there, and we're in the same shoes as those kids when we were 15, 16. So we really just wanted to set the example that day. With that being said, we created jerseys, we created a running show, product, everything, the whole event. And it was cool because it ended up being this thing where my photography, my best friends with Tier Zero and the Kickback were all working together seamlessly. Wow. And that was kind of like, if you asked me 12 months ago, like, what's your goal? Is like, my goal is to try to find a way where I can see all three things I believe in happening at the same time. So that was one of the first instances where that happened. And it gets me excited to think that that can be happening on a more frequent basis.
Definitely.
It was a success. The kids loved it. After the tournament, I would go to a random gym and see them wearing the whole outfit that they got from the day before. Like, I don't even know if they washed it or not, but everyone loved it. And every time I'm back in the community now, I'm meeting somebody new saying, oh, you guys did that tournament. Like, that was the craziest thing we ever seen here. And it makes me really happy because I just remember playing basketball there and wanting to do things, but didn't know how. And I have an idea now, but there's still a long way to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So your big vision from 12 months ago came true. So then what's next? What do you think a year from now?
A year from now, it's kind of establishing what we're capable of. I feel like brands put a lot of their money into things that hold no relevance really outside of like a superficial piece. And whether we're working with a brand or we're doing it for ourselves, we just want to instill the concept of making an impact. So when we're doing the projects that we want to do by ourselves, we want to make an impact. But we also want to come in and if brands want to do something and they say they want to make a change, we can be that person to make sure that, you know, you have all this money to spend. Like, let's make sure you spend it on the kids properly.
Yeah.
Let's make sure that you actually do something with your budget as opposed to just trying to make something look cool. Because in reality, like, the cool thing or the thing that will last and resonate is when you change someone's life or you change someone's perspective. So we just spending so much time with kids, I feel like we stand in a good spot of being able to be that mediator between whether it's an investor or a company or, yeah, or a brand. And then with the kid who has no idea what he or she is trying to do, seeing those two puzzle pieces fit together.
Well, I definitely think you guys are going to get there, and I can't wait to see your next project. So I would love to know why it's so important to you to combine the art that you do with giving back.
I think that everything in your life should be integrated. There's no need for separation where, oh, I like this, but it doesn't work with that. So I guess they just need to make a time for each of the two. Like, I feel like your life is in totality, everything should be able to coexist. And if there's things that I like to work or do on a daily basis, why not try to fit as much of that as possible into that? Like, not just the work and the passion, but the friendships, the relationships, the family, like everything. Try to see it all work together. And that's not easy to do, but I guess that just requires more patience.
Special thanks again to Jamal for meeting me on a very cold day in Toronto to do this interview. It was an honor. To learn more about the Kickback and all the ways you can support Jamal's mission, please visit jscale.com. Thank you so much for listening to True Stories of Good People, a podcast brought to you by GoFundMe. If you were inspired by today's story, please help us out by heading over to iTunes and leaving us a rating, a review, and subscribing to the show. And if anyone you know loves inspiring stories, please share our podcast with them. It means the world to us. Also, we love to hear from listeners, so if you have any feedback, suggestions, or questions, you can write to us at podcast@gofundme.com. And lastly, for more behind-the-scenes content, you can follow us on Instagram at True Stories of Good People and on Twitter at TSGPPod. Quick thank you to Vocal Fry Studios in Toronto, Canada, where this episode was recorded, and to our editing team at Cloud Studios in Seattle, Washington. We'll be back next time with more True Stories of Good People. Talk to you then!